Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
His wife, and some of us, it's a good morning. Some of us, not so much. Giant fans, it's one hell of a morning. It's a Monday victory morning. That's the last time we could say that. Jackson Dart comes in, gets the start. The coach, Brian Daboll, turns to him in his darkest hour. And he is rewarded with a victory as Jackson Dart leads them down the field on the opening drive, running the ball down the Chargers' throat. Makes plays down the stretch at the end of the game. Big third down conversion to help seal the victory. The defense, big plays, turnovers. Felt a lot like the first year of Brian Daboll with you-know-who, Indiana Jones. Tucking and running. Obviously, he needs to be a little bit more safe out there. He's a bit reckless when he runs. But his ability to run, obviously the first opening drive, he ends up scoring on a quarterback draw, which was, you know, big and that was pretty much a lot of the game plan. Neighbors goes down with what appears to be an ACL injury, which is devastating. But putting that aside, good victory for the New York Giants. Feels like you got something with Jackson Dart. Yeah, the numbers aren't jumping off the page, but there was just something about him. And they were able to find a way to win a football game when they haven't been able to do that for a long time. So for Giant fans, today is a refreshing breath of fresh air. You feel like you might have a quarterback. You won a football game. The coach had the balls to go and turn to the kid. Wasn't the owner forcing it. Wasn't the GM making it happen. The coach said, this is what's best. He's my guy. I picked him for a reason. I can win with him. And he went out there and not just beat an average football team, an undefeated, I know it's only 3 weeks in, but I'm going to say that because it sounds better. An undefeated Chargers team at 3-0, who are playing some of the best football in all of the sport and obviously have one of the best coaches in all of football in Harbaugh. Great win for the New York Giants. And then, of course, the slow collapse capped off yesterday as the Mets get shut out in game 162, lose 2 out of 3 to the Marlins, sit there, Met fans sit there as we watch, and it was a crazy, I mean, it was, if you're a baseball guy, it was crazy yesterday. You're watching the Yankees and the Blue Jays for a time. Both games are close. You know the division hangs in the balance. You're watching the Reds. You're watching the Mets. You're watching Boston and Detroit and Cleveland trying to figure out who's going to win the division, what sets up the wild card there. There's all that going on. You're watching Jackson Dart go down the field and try and, you know, stave and do enough and get enough first downs to try and seal a victory with the Giants. It was a crazy stretch there on a Sunday afternoon. But ultimately for the Mets, we sit here and try and figure out what the hell happened to them as this team, as you heard from Mendoza in that clip, is a with all its flaws, and there were more than we thought there were, still should have been a playoff team. And to collapse in the manner with then what they did, this is, and to see on the scoreboard for half the game that the Brewers are winning. The Brewers take a 4-2 lead in like the fourth or fifth inning. They're up mid-game. You are watching the scoreboard. You know, as the Mets, they're sitting there saying, all we have to do is win, and they get shut out 4-0. Soto, big double play. Lindor, double play to end the game. Pete Alonso with a bullet that gets caught in the gap, but just not enough. Not enough, and this team that was crumbling for 2.5 months falls flat on their face, and we had to watch the Cincinnati Reds and now celebrate, and now the rest of Major League Baseball has to watch the Cincinnati Reds take on the Dodgers in the wild card round instead of Juan Soto, instead of Lindor and Pete Alonso. We're watching, you know, Steer and Nelly De La Cruz take on the Dodgers. An embarrassing season of the highest order for the New York Mets. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Let's get back to the calls on this Monday morning. Paul in Yonkers. What's up, Paul?
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Paul.
Thanks, man. What team has two players that hit 40 homers and 100 RBI? It's enough. The problem was the Mets played with minor leaguers all over the place. We knew in May that the two kids on third base were not cutting it. They played all year long. The catcher was sent down to the minors in July. He came back. We didn't have enough on those positions. David Peterson is a number three. He cannot be your number one ace. So you could upgrade all of those positions. Give Pete up to Soto's op year. And they hit you 40 and 100 every year. Mm-hmm. It should be enough. So that's what you upgrade. Upgrade to get the minor leaguers out of here. Upgrade third, upgrade the catching position. You gotta bring in one or two main pitchers. Sorry about the general manager's idea of how he likes to do it.
Mm-hmm.
David Peterson can't be your ace. He's
well,
number three.
He wasn't there. I mean, you know, to be
he
fair.
He was forced.
Yeah, I mean, listen, well, Kodai Senga was pitching to a 1.4 ERA before he got hurt. You know, they signed, you know, Minaya as well. I'm with you on eventually you're going to have to pick the right ace. I'm not sure last offseason provided that, nor did the trade deadline for certain. We'll see how he reacts to this season and what he does with the pitching rotation, no doubt. But to just say David Peterson, they didn't go into the season with David Peterson as their ace. That's not fair. It became that for a stretch
okay. Because
he pitched, he warranted that declaration because he was pitching so well. He was an all-star. You know, he had a 2.4 ERA. Through June, and then it just fell apart.
Why did you allow all these minor leaguers on the field with Juan Soto? How did you do that?
I mean,
why didn't you upgrade any third base?
Yeah, I mean, I guess they could. Well, I mean,
we knew in May that these kids weren't cutting it. They played all year.
Yeah, I mean,
nobody...
Vientos was pretty damn incredible last year. I mean, he was amazing down the stretch. He was great into the postseason. Clutch home runs all over the place. You weren't comfortable entering the season with him at third base?
We gave them a shot to a certain point.
Yeah, and then Beatty had an 800 OPS in the second half. Like, I don't know what you... I mean, listen, I'm not saying Stearns did a good job. He didn't. Everything he touched turned to crap. The trade deadline was awful. But, I mean, third base, you go into it with Vientos knowing you have Beatty as well, right? He's part of the mix. McNeil gets hurt in the beginning of the season, and you're playing Beatty at second, and he struggled, and Vientos struggled all year. But going into the season with Vientos, like, I thought for sure he was going to be build on that and have be the Mets' third baseman or at least part of the team, whether it's DH or first base if Pete left, you know. But I expected Vientos to be a major part of the team. He was awful, and then Beatty kind of picked it up in the second half, no? Now, and Alvarez, yeah, you sent him down. He came back and hit better. He hit some big home runs down the stretch, too. There's not a lot of great offensive catchers in the sport. Now, he was particularly bad for a stretch this year, and which warranted sending him down. When he came back after being sent down, he was an average major league catcher with a little bit of power, and hopefully he could develop, like, I don't know. Where are you going to upgrade a catcher? Who are you going to go get? Where's the upgrade? JT Realmuto? Who's the upgraded catcher you're going to go find at the trade deadline? Like, that's just not easy to replace. Now, in the offseason, you can try and rebuild the team and do something differently with the catching position or third base if you deem it worthy. Yeah, but heading into the year, I didn't have a problem with any of those. I didn't love relying on the pieces that they did for the rotation. But even I have to be fair, and we can yell about Stearns all day long, and I'm not saying he did a good job. He did a terrible job. But I don't know what pitcher in the offseason here would have been a guarantee success or better than what they got. Burns blew out his arm. Right? Burns blew out his arm. Eovaldi didn't finish the season. I mean, Matthew Boyd, would you have felt that much better if Matthew Boyd was signed? Clay Holmes ended up being one of the top handful of free agent signings in the offseason, as far as starting pitching goes. But I do agree with the premise that eventually you have to bring top-level talent here. You could have been on Max Fried. And I don't. But that's a contract he won't give out. He won't give out 8 years to a Max Fried. Now, we'll see if that ends up being good for the Yankees. If he goes out and wins the wild card, I'll feel good. I won't care about the next 8 years. Go win a championship. Robbie in Lake Success. What's up, Robbie?
Chris, I was going around the horn watching everything like you said, but I'm a Red Sox fan, and I got to tell you something. You do not. You got to be scared to death with this matchup, because you could easily, by one, this could be over Wednesday or Thursday for the Yankees, and you're going to be talking, it's going to be over for New York baseball. I mean, this is the worst matchup in a best of three, as hot as the Red Sox have played against the Yankees, and at 2 out of 3, you don't have to be the best team. You just gotta have two
matchup,
good games.
The matchup scares me. Like, it could have been the Tigers with Skubal on the mound. I mean, I don't know, what's the difference?
Yeah, but it's the Red Sox. They got their number this year, and
the Yankees just won 2 out of 3 in February.
I understand that. I'm just saying, you don't want the Red Sox. The Red Sox are probably the most dangerous team that you could possibly face, because you don't have to be the best team. You just got to have two good games. Crochet, he wins that game, and if someone else blows, let's say game three,
100%. Whoever wins game one, you're going to feel like they're going to win the series. In this new version of the wild card, every single series has been won by the winner of game one.
And it's a shame it's not later, either like the second or third round, mm-hmm. but if you're a Yankee fan, this is the worst possible matchup. By Thursday, the Mets fans are going to be laughing. Let me get to the
Mets.
Okay,
what about the Red Sox? Is there a better matchup?
The Red Sox are a miracle team. Of course it counts. You want to go far. But
so you're not worried about the Yankees, the Red Sox?
I'm totally worried about the Yankees.
That's what I'm saying. It goes both ways.
What's the better matchup for
the Red Sox? You'd rather play somebody else?
No, I'm just saying the Red Sox were not supposed to be here. The Yankees are the Yankees. That's all I'm saying. You don't want the Red Sox. You would rather have the Red Sox in a best of 7.
100%.
Okay? Because you got a better team.
I agree with that.
A best of 4 you could easily lose.
Absolutely.
And it could be all over Wednesday.
Absolutely. It could have been against the Detroit too. I would have felt the same way about the Detroit.
And I love this, getting into this. This is going to be off the charts.
It's going to be great.
I'm very excited about it.
Yep.
Now I will get to the Mets. The Mets, it's all on Stearns. It's not about yesterday. It's about winning 83 games. You bring Soto in. He's a selfish player. He spent all this money going. He'll be gone in 4 years anyway. I'm not a Mets fan, but I'll tell you something. This is on Stearns. They didn't get pitching. It was a team that was not set up well. And if Alonso walks, that'd be the dumbest thing. I pick him on the Red Sox, and if the Yankees grab him, oh my God, they should have grabbed him. I'm not saying he might be a Yankee. I mean, you never know.
I doubt it very much.
Now let's get to
the Red Sox would be in more
Davis,
need of him than the
Davis
Yankees.
Crushing injury, and I want to throw something out here with this turf.
Yeah.
Okay, well, why aren't we using grass? Why the Sox is going to be putting in free grass next summer, and you're telling me the Jets and Giants can't get a grounds crew to mow the grass 100 yards and water it? And these injuries are all happening from this turf. Now, speaking as a physician, it's all happening. There's something with the turf. It's a crying shame. And Dart, I love him. What I saw, but he's running too much. It's a little scary. He already had a little hammy issue. And the coach, he just lucked out. Horrible play calling. What are you running the ball down there? He lucked out the fact that late in the game, they're running the ball.
I think lucked out is unfair. When he loses, nobody gives him any credit for things or whatever. Like, you win or you lose. He won the football game. He went to the young quarterback and he beat a damn good football team. I'm not going to tell you he lucked out. Now, do I agree there was the one sequence there where they kicked the field goal late, and which I agreed with, but he runs the ball on third down. There was a couple there where I didn't love the play calling, and it was kind of just matter of fact, and you know, he didn't want to put too much in the passing game, especially once Neighbors is out, on the rookie quarterback, because you can't have a turnover there. So he played it conservatively with a rookie quarterback. Fair. It's game one with this kid. Game one. And he lost Neighbors halfway through. Like, I'm going to give them a break on the passing game and being aggressive in the passing game and the play calling. Like, they went conservative. The defense was playing well, and the pass rush was getting to Herbert. He put the game in his defense's hands, and he was rewarded for it. Like, they won the football game. Bottom line. We don't want to hear anything else. They put up 37 points against the Cowboys. Nobody wants to hear anything other than they lost the football game. I'm not going to sit here and kill the coach for how he went about winning the football game. I'm just not. Not saying your points aren't valid. I'm not saying that you can't run. I think Jackson Dart can run as much as he ran in that game yesterday. He can't take on contact the way he took on contact. He can't be winding up like he's Otis Anderson in the Super Bowl and giving freaking, you know, big punch stiff arms to face masks with his throwing hand. Like, that's borderline stupid. So he's got to be a little bit more willing to slide, take on less contact. He shouldn't be worried about using his, because he switched hands to the left. He switched the ball to his left hand because he was running to the left of the back, to the defensive back. And then he brings out this wild, over-the-top-handed stiff arm. Like, dude, that's your throwing hand. You want to break a finger on your throwing hand? Like, so he's got to learn how to tone it down a little bit. But we see quarterbacks run as much as him. Now, you're gonna take a toll on your body, no doubt, and there was reports that he was sore. So, yeah, I mean, on some level, you have to run a little bit less, but I don't think it was crazy as long as he's got to be smarter with it. Eli in the Bronx. What's up, Eli?
Hey, what's up, C-Mac? If you remember me, I called the first night of baseball season, the Juan Soto stuff, that he pooped his pants. Do you remember that he struck out first game of the season? I called you up and we had a night blast.
That's right, Eli. A little bit. I'm sorry, buddy. Yeah, I take a lot of calls. Yeah, go ahead.
Just a little bit. Not only did Juan Soto do that first game of the season, but he spread a disease. I called him the Poopy Pants Mets. Let's go.
The Poopy Pants Mets. Let's go. I knew I was going to get some Yankee trash talk. I knew I was going to get some Yankee fans who want to crow and dance on the grave of the New York Mets. I knew that was coming. I did not know I was going to get poopy pants. I didn't see that one coming. I didn't know we were going to go with the old poopy pants. That could be it. It could be they have poopy pants disease. I've seen it before. Let's go to Jesse in Queens. What's up, Jesse?
Hey, Chris, what's up?
What's up?
I don't know, man. I'm just very disappointed. And
of course.
Stearns is the main guy. I mean, I don't know what all his preacher moves were duds. You could have re-signed Quintana. He won 11 games for the Brewers.
Yep.
You could have had Severino. Proven innings eater. You know, you had to rely on. And the main thing is they could have gotten Crochet. They didn't want to give up Jet Williams and Sproat. I would have done that. I mean, come on, you know, Jet Williams and Sproat.
Yeah, listen, I don't know. Did you see a report that is what Chicago wanted, and they said no? I don't know for certain.
Yeah, Heyman reported that was he's been reporting that for a while that they rejected that trade, that they were going to do that. So Williams and Sproat. So it's just I'm tired.
I think Boston gave up a lot for Crochet. I don't think that would have been enough to get him. But I hear what you're saying. You could have. And I was screaming to go get Crochet because I agree with you that if you're going to have the thought process of not wanting to pay free agent starting pitching over the age of 30, and I understand why, but you do need top of the rotation talent. So when guys like Crochet become available via trade, you have to be aggressive because you don't want to pay those guys in free agency. So I don't know if the deals you're talking about necessarily would have got it done, but being uber aggressive in a situation like the Garrett Crochet trade, I 100% agree with you. The Mets should have been very aggressive in that.
Yeah, his pitching philosophy is no good. You need a number one starter. You know, they need to go out and get Valdez. I mean, how many games they gave up with Senna and all these guys that they brought. Tyler wasn't ready. He's not ready for the majors. He needed him, and you know, and also Peterson. They kept out bringing out Peterson when he didn't have it. He was tired from months ago. And they needed a rest, and they kept bringing him out. He kept getting shelled every time. So they gave up, like, so many games because they didn't have the right pitching. I mean, they need to go out and get a number one like Valdez, and that's it. I mean, well, that was the main downfall.
Yeah, listen, I think the offense was just as much the main downfall. And we went over all the times they scored three or less or two or less. I don't disagree. We're going to find out, all right? It's been pretty clear to me that he doesn't want to pay free agent pitching, certainly pitching over 30. I don't know if that's going to be something he sticks to. He did offer Yamamoto a big contract, but he's 26. If the right free agent comes, but how often does a top-level 26-year-old free agent become available? If they do, the Mets should be super aggressive. Now, the same thing with trades. Like, I don't know what the Pittsburgh Pirates are doing. Skeens has voiced some displeasure in the organization. If Skeens becomes available, along with every other team in baseball, but the Mets should be obviously super aggressive. Now, that's the obvious one. He's one of the great players. But so is Crochet. Crochet's, you know, right there, a little bit older, not quite as unbelievable. But, like, when those kind of pitchers maybe find themselves, like what we just saw from Alcantara, right? He reestablished himself down the second half. If he's available, you got to go get him. If you are not going to want to pay free agent pitchers who 90% of them hit the market at the age of 30 or older, then you have to go be creative in how you got top-level talent because that's what you need. Now, you can develop it, which hopefully they have developed, and we will find out next year if Nolan McLean is a top-level starting pitcher. He pitched like it this year. That you got to develop, you got to draft it, you got to develop it, and you got to go out and be creative in how to find it if you don't want to pay. Now, I'm wondering if this year changes his thought process a little bit, changes the owner's thought process a little bit and says, listen, we need top of the rotation and we're going to have to take a chance on someone. Now, if they would have done that last year and taken a chance on Corbin Burnes, we'd be killing him because Corbin Burnes just blew out his arm. He's got Tommy John surgery. I don't know if he'll ever be the same again, and he just signed a long contract with the Diamondbacks. They are regretting signing that contract, I promise you. So there's a reason why David Stearns has this thought process, because pitchers are unreliable and get hurt, especially on the other side of 30, and they still demand top dollar. It's a risky proposition, but so is entering a season with all the promise and hype of a Mets franchise without a top of the rotation starter. So they're going to have to find that balance. And this year, he failed epically. Last year, he did a great job. I mean, I agree with you. He's got a... The trade deadline was a disaster. But again, we all loved it. We all loved Helsley. We all loved Rogers. Mullins was kind of a throw-in. You could have done better than Mullins, but I didn't think any... You know, we weren't expecting him to be this bad. But this is how it works. The only one that jumps out at me as a colossal... just, I can't even explain it now, is going to get Montas for $17 million a year for 2 years. When it happened, we were like, okay, you know, if he's the back end of the rotation starter, and I guess that's ultimately what he was, but it's Manaea, Senga. They didn't go out and sign anybody else, really. Clay Holmes. And Clay Holmes turned out to be a really good signing and had a really good year for them. His ERA, the innings, all better than I thought they would have been. Me and Evan texted me. I go on the Rico Bronya every year, and we do Met Yankee bets. Where, you know, We take a bet on sometimes obvious things, like we bet Rodon versus Peterson and wins. That's one of the bets we made. So these are the bets we make. That one I obviously won. Stroman versus Holmes, innings out of the bullpen. Like, these are the bets that we make. Odd ones, obvious ones, different ones. Rice versus Beatty, home runs. As you can tell, I've won a lot of these bets. But
how did you win the Stroman one?
Yes.
How close was that?
Stroman didn't throw any, and Holmes threw four innings out of the pen.
So them switching that piggyback last week really messed with you.
Correct. It won me. I bet that Holmes would have more innings out of the pen than Stroman.
Oh, okay, nice.
Yeah. I won the Beatty one. Judge versus Soto on base percentage I won. He won Diaz versus, I'll go through them one by one. Rodon versus Peterson wins. Obviously, Peterson 8-9 to Rodon's 18. Stroman Holmes bullpen, I won 4-0. This was the fun one that turned out to be exactly on the number. This is crazy. Senga and Holmes starts versus Aaron Judge home runs, 53-53. How weird is that? We made a bet, Senga and Holmes starts. My thing was Holmes was going to be out of the bullpen. That was my beginning of the year.
Pitcher not making 31 starts.
Exactly. That's why I have these bets about Holmes out of the bullpen. I thought that they had enough depth of the starting rotation that they would eventually go to Holmes in the bullpen.
If Kodai Senga was slightly less pathetic.
Yeah. But it ended up being, but how about that? Senga and Holmes starts versus Judge home runs, and it turned out to be 53-53. That's crazy. Then we had Judge versus Soto on base percentage. I won 449-387. Diaz versus Devin Williams saves. Devin Williams clearly lost that one for me. Volpe, Dominguez, and Jazz stolen bases versus Soto, Alonso, Vientos home runs, 72-97 I lost. And Vientos and Nimmo versus Cody, Bellinger, and Goldie home runs. And I think I lost that 43-39.
Who would have thought that the biggest number and all that, the guys you named for the stolen bases and home runs,
yeah,
that sort of stolen base number,
I know,
would have been that high.
Yeah, but no, it was their home runs.
No, I'm saying like
bases.
who would have guessed that never that in a his stolen years. Bases would be the highest of anybody involved in that.
I know. And then the final one was the DH OPS, and obviously Yankees won that 9-17 to 7-46.
You know the crazy stat about Clay Holmes?
What?
Of all ERA qualifiers in the National League, he finished ninth.
He
had 21st in all of baseball.
He had a great year. And when they needed him most, Clay Holmes deserves to be called a big game pitcher. He's earned it. Now, I know he hasn't been a starter, and that's usually reserved for starters outside of Mariano Rivera. But, like, Clay Holmes out of the bullpen for the Yankees was brilliant in his couple of years there. Not good, brilliant. And on Saturday, when they needed him most, he gave them 6 shutout innings and probably pitched the best game of his season. Clay Holmes is a money pitcher. That was a good signing by the Mets. There's no doubt. And next year, hopefully, he should be even better with the amount of innings under his belt, and he should be, you know, better down the stretch of the season. Clay Holmes was really the one shining spot for this GM. I don't consider Soto one of them because Soto's an easy one. Who wouldn't want Juan Soto? That's depending on, you know, it's not like, you know, David Stearns was like, Hey, you got a second, Stevie? I just wanted to run something by you.
There's this guy, I don't know if you know about him.
Yeah. I'm thinking we should, I'm going to see if Juan Soto would be interested in coming over. Like, obviously, everyone wants Juan Soto, so I don't really consider that. Same thing with Brian Cashman necessarily trading for him or signing Judge, for like example. I give Brian Cashman 0 credit for re-signing Aaron Judge. Had nothing to do with him. Nor does Juan Soto have anything to do with David Stearns. But Clay Holmes was a massive success. Almost everything else was a failure. And bringing back Pete, I think that was an owner thing too. But he helped negotiate that contract and got it to the point they wanted it. I'll give him Pete. But Pete and Holmes are it. Everything else pretty much failed for him. Griffin Canning was on his way to possibly being successful, and then he tore his Achilles. Like, that's it. Everything else the GM touched was a epic fail. I still think he's smart. I wouldn't even, you know, I can't imagine any Met fan would want to fire him after 2 years. I'm sure you're frustrated and disappointed, but I still think he's a smart executive, and I have no reason to suspect he won't do a better job next year, but this was a miserable season for him. There's no doubt. Everyone associated with the team.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
DSW, Earthplace of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Miserable.
Talk New York sports on WFAN, 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Oh, boy. 437, McMonagle here with you on the Fan. On a rough morning for Met fans as they come to grips with the idea the playoffs start on Tuesday and they will not be there, which I would have thought unfathomable. But then you watch the team for the last 2 months and it's fathomable. And we'll get to the Yankees tomorrow, as tomorrow will be game day. 6 o'clock on ESPN, Yankees Red Sox live from Yankee Stadium in the Bronx. Max Fried on the mound for the Yankees, and we know who is pitching for the Red Sox. Garrett Crochet, who has dominated the Yankees this year. It is not going to be easy. We'll get to it tomorrow. We'll break down that series a little bit. I think the Yankees absolutely should be the favorite, but we have seen in this format every single series. All but two have been sweeps. Only the Mets, amazingly enough, in this new wild card format, have even gone to a third game outside.
And they're not here, so everyone's going to be sweeps.
So it's all they're going to be sweeps, right? The Mets against the Padres obviously went three, and the Mets last year against the Brewers. Other than that, every single wild card series in this new format has been a sweep. And considering the Padres won game one of that series with the Mets and the Brewers won game one of that. I'm sorry. The Mets The Mets,
the team that won game one has never lost.
I'm thinking the Mets are losers, and I got them losing the Brewers series. Obviously, they won that series. So the Padres won game one against the Mets and won. The Mets won game one against the Brewers and won. Every single game one winner has won the series in this new wild card format. Every single one. Game one is huge. And as great as Max Fried is, I think you could, it's hard to argue that the Red Sox do have the pitching advantage in game number one. The Yankees are going to have to find a way at home. They've earned that with tied for the best record in the American League. They earned those games to be played at Yankee Stadium. Hopefully that matters. I do think they would have the pitching matchup the next 2 days if they could figure it out. I think obviously it's going to be Cam Schlittler. They haven't announced that yet, but with the way he pitched most recently and the idea that he'll pitch yesterday, I still think I would think it's going to be Cam Schlittler coming out of the bullpen for coming to start game number three. I would like the Yankees' chances in games two and three. I think the pitching matchup does favor them in two and three with Rodon and Schlittler, but game one has proven to be necessary if you want to win the wild card series. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. 888-808-1019. Jeff in Colorado. What's up, Jeff?
Oh, Chris, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing all right. Very disappointed, obviously. Mm-hmm. A few things to get through. The bottom line is you can't leave it up to game 162.
Yeah.
And
they should have never been in the position for yesterday to matter. You're 100% right.
Absolutely. You mentioned something in terms of the game. Brooks Raley, spot on, right? You know, the circle of trust, so to speak.
That's the only one I have a major problem with how the manager handled yesterday. I have two pitchers I ultimately really trust, too. And I can't go into a game where I'm in the bullpen in the second inning and only allow him to get two outs. I had to get more from Brooks Raley.
Stanek should have had a clean inning if you were going to bring Stanek in. The
same
Mets
thing for Rodgers, too. Rodgers is a guy who pitches contact. Thing. He needs to clean start a clean inning,
Absolutely. The Mets couldn't get the two out hits that they needed yesterday, and the one that really got me is not the Pete one. I mean, that was, that should have been a double, in the alley, whatever. But instead of a double steal in the third with Taylor on second and Lindor on first, speed on the base pass, Soto hits into a double play, and so it's kind of, it was like right there. It was, it didn't look good. I think Pete's going to be back. I think period. Steve Cohen's a guy that understands the importance of the Mets legacy. Pete was put in a situation. He felt like he earned a big money deal and he didn't get it. And so he went on and he put together one of the best seasons for any Mets Met player in my lifetime.
Yeah.
And, I think he wants to be a Met his whole career. He's got a chance to be like a Keith Hernandez type, legend. And, between him and Lindor, Soto, even with the slow start, putting together almost a 40-40 season, right? Nimmo actually had career highs in home runs and RBIs, still 27 doubles. They all had very... To me, the problem is the Mets couldn't rely on them every single game. And the rest of the order, 5-9 or 6-9, just didn't do what they needed to do.
Yeah.
You can't rely on the big four, every time. I was talking to Fleas off the air, and you mentioned Griffin Canning a second ago. He was a second-round pick that finally seemed like he put it together. And he took one bad step. And, who would, that another 15 starts or something, whatever from him. Yeah. It's disappointing. I'm curious what you think, Chris, on, I know you talk a lot about Alonso, that you think he'll be back. Is this something we're going to have to wait until February?
Ooh, I'm sorry. I was hovering there and I actually pushed the button. I think you're going to wait a while. Now, I do think this free agency is going to be different. I think Pete's going to have a lot more suitors. I think Pete, A, is not going to have a pick attached to him like he did last year because you can't give the guy a qualifying offer twice. So no pick attached to him. Coming off a much better season. I think he's going to get, and you've already got now, Guerrero kind of broke the mold for first baseman. They haven't really gotten that big contract yet. Now Guerrero got it. I know he's younger. I'm not saying it's direct apples to apples, but now a first baseman has officially got the big contract. I think Pete's going to get paid. So it's going to be a different free agency. We'll see how the Mets treat it. But, yeah, you're probably going to have to wait a while. I doubt very much you're going to, you know, I doubt very much Pete Alonso is a winter meeting signing. Maybe he is. Maybe the owner is just like, screw this, we're signing Pete, and it's done early. But I would think you're going to wait a while because they're going to bank on the idea that Pete wants to stay and we'll play this thing out for a while. And we'll get to Juan Soto. We have time. I want to talk about Juan Soto and his season because I think his season is actually really interesting to talk about. Because if you look at the numbers, I mean, there's no doubt he had an incredible year, right? His on-base percentage is a little bit down for his career. His batting average was .263. You know, last year he was in the .280s, I believe. OPS .921, 43 home runs, career high, 105 RBIs. And you mentioned the double play and the pop-up. He had two chances to help the Mets in this game. Now, again, it's one game. It shouldn't have come down to it, but huge double play. And after the misplay by the second baseman was a double for Lindor, he pops up. And if you look at his numbers, it would tell you the story of an incredible year and one of the next 15 that are going to be all just like it. And Juan Soto's going to put on a Met uniform in the Hall of Fame, and those probably are going to be true. But the underlying numbers don't tell you that this season was kind of disappointing for Juan Soto. Sorry. He didn't have a lot of big clutch moments. He didn't have a lot of signature moments. He didn't help the Mets win enough games. Bottom line. I'm not saying he had a bad year. He had a great year, but he didn't impact the team all that much. His best stretch was in June and I guess August, and neither of them were really good winning times for the Mets. Like, he got hot just as the swoon started. He got hot just as this losing started. And again, I'm not blaming him for it. I'm just saying, the dude had a great year. The numbers are great. They're Juan Soto numbers. He's not the biggest reason for their failures. He's not even close to the biggest reason for their failures. But he did not. He just didn't have a clutch year. Pete Alonso doesn't have the same numbers as Soto does. Pete Alonso had a much better season. I know the RBIs are up, but outside of that, you know, Soto has all the numbers are better for Juan Soto. Pete Alonso had a much better year. Soto just did not come through in the clutch enough for what you expected. And that's why we were saying, get him to the playoffs, because once there, no one cares about what he did prior to there. It's what he did from that moment on, and I fully would have expected Juan Soto to come through. He didn't yesterday, and he didn't enough all year.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite team, The Fan, on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
All right, just a few more minutes here as we got you until 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Let's just get to your calls, as many as we can take. Obviously, we're not done here. We'll be back at 2 a.m. tomorrow. We're not done breaking down these Mets. We're not done breaking down Jackson Dart. We obviously really haven't even touched on the Jets. Unfair to them, but they play tonight, trying to take down the Dolphins and avoid a 0-4 start the way the Giants did. Hopefully the Jets can get a win too and feel like we might be back to having football seasons. Who knows? 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls, though. Gene in Far Rockaway. What's up, Gene?
Hey, how you doing, Chris?
Good. How are you, buddy?
All righty. Now, this I don't understand. We heard this story before when it comes to Boston and New York. Mm-hmm. Like, the Knicks couldn't beat the Celtics. All postseason is different.
Of course.
To me, I would be more scared of the Guardians. Not just because the Yankees always beat. Wait. Just listen to me, Chris.
I'm listening. I can't help but chuckle. There are things that you say something funny, I laugh. I don't know what to tell you. But go ahead. I'm listening.
Okay, you know what? I go by who's playing better now. Uh-huh. You sit up there, you talk about the Red Sox pitcher, and they got that one pitcher.
Yeah.
Now, the Guardians, they've been pitching. That's what got them back in there. They were pitching like to a 1 or 2 ERA. So I go by who's playing.
Yeah, I hear you, Gene, and it's rapid-fire style, but that's just crazy talk. I appreciate you. I understand what you're saying. They are playing great right now. They just accomplished the biggest – we didn't even go around the NFL, around baseball. There's so much to talk about. 3 hours just wasn't enough. Like, the Detroit Tigers blew the biggest lead in Major League history. That's the biggest division lead. Now, it was 15.5 over Cleveland. They were never 15.5 up in first place, but they were 15.5 over Cleveland. So Cleveland made up the largest deficit in Major League history to come back and win a division. They were down 15.5 games as I'm watching Brian Daboll just completely try and, you know, smother Jackson Dart. He was so happy. Good for Brian Daboll. I don't know if it means anything, but he's going to keep his job for another week at least. But that's the biggest comeback in history. And Cleveland's played great, and they're starting pitching. And I think Cade Smith finished back-to-back years with the highest WAR for any relief pitcher in baseball. I don't know how that's possible. He's not as good as Diaz, but he has it. They're a talented team, and they just had one hell of a run. The Yankees wouldn't lose a game to them. I'm just like, they're not going to. And Boston is dangerous because it's a wild. I agree. If it were the ALDS, I would feel much more comfortable playing the Boston Red Sox or anybody. And let me tell you this, why I would have been more afraid of Detroit than I would of Cleveland. The reason I'm scared of Detroit is obviously Skubal, who's one of the best pitchers in baseball, is pitching game one. But we talk so much about history, right? 07, 08, Marlins, Mets, we've been talking about history. Let me take you back to 2006 when the Detroit Tigers blew a division lead they had all year long. Blew a division lead they had all year long to the Minnesota Twins at the end of the year, and they ended up limping into the postseason as the wild card, took on the big bad Yankees with 97 wins, the most in Major League Baseball. The Yankees beat them game one and didn't win another game. And since we're talking about history, that would scare me. That they lost the division, limped into the postseason, and then it's a 3-game series against Skubal pitching game one. But the main reason you're scared of the Red Sox is because they have an ace going game one. And game one is extremely important in these 3-game series. Steve in Rockland. What's up, Steve?
Okay, Chris. So for the guy who called, and said the Yankees would be afraid of Boston. I'm not going to make any predictions, but right now I would not want to be navigating the Judge Bellinger Stanton.
100%. 100%.
I would not want. I would not relish that. I wouldn't care who's pitching.
Mm-hmm.
I would not relish that at all.
No, I agree with you, Steve. And you're right. With the way Bellinger hits left-handed pitching, that is a fierce, fierce middle of the lineup. We'll get into that tomorrow on what the lineup's going to look like. I'm interested to see what they do with Ben Rice, who is clearly the better hitter. But it is lefty against Crochet. What do they do with Goldschmidt at first? Do they dare to pitch, put Rice at catcher and worry about the Boston run game? It's going to be interesting. But, yeah, that middle of the order against left-handed pitching in particular is dangerous because Bellinger's so good against lefties. So you got Judge Bellinger Stanton. That's very difficult for a lefty to navigate. But this isn't a normal lefty. This is one of the best pitchers in baseball. Now, I don't want to make it seem like the Yankees can't win. I think the Yankees are going to win. I think the Yankees are the better team. I think they'll win the series. But, I mean, it's a three-game set, and you're going up against one of the best pitchers in baseball. It's a scary proposition. I wanted them to win the division badly. There is a huge difference in the odds of the Yankees making it to the World Series if they would have won the division as opposed to playing in the wild card. They got the best record in the wild card, and all they get for their thanks is one of the best pitchers showing up to pitch game one. Meanwhile, Detroit and Cleveland get to play each other. They would have been better off being the last wild card team than the first wild card team. Ross in Bergen County, what's up, Ross? You with me?
Yeah. Sorry, bro.
That's okay. What's up, buddy?
I know I got like a minute, bro. I wish I know I would have more time before, but you know what? I don't even know what to say. You know what? I'll be really quick. I can't believe I was bracing this happening, and yet I still found a way to be pissed about it. Just kind of like the whole thing about the scoreboard watch and people crying about if the Brewers had anything to play for or not, and the fact that you get the win from them,
it
winds up being in your day, you know, you controlling your own destiny when it's all said and done, and the whole Marlins thing full circle. If someone brought this up, I apologize. Did anybody talk about the last four series as they won? Were the Padres, the Cubs, the Tigers, and the Phillies, all four playoff teams? I guarantee you, bro, what makes this the most infuriating is they play to the level of their competition.
I'm sorry, Ross. I got to let you. I want to try and see if I can squeeze anybody. But you're not wrong. They won series against playoff teams and lost to the lousy teams. And the Marlins aren't lousy, but they had to win that series. Matt in Bayshore, what's up, Matt?
Hey, what's going on, man? I think that's honestly probably the worst.
Hey, Walton Oceanport, what do you got, real quick?
I'll tell you, as soon as they made the playoffs, the Yankees, the big winners were Aaron Boone and Cashman.
That's right. Aaron Boone and Cashman are the big winners. That's what I've always said. That's what I'll always say. We'll get to more of that tomorrow. Met fans, hang in there. You wake up to a miserable Monday morning and you'll have to go over it all day. I get it. And you'll have to see Ted in accounting, who's a Yankee fan, who's going to get on you for all the big brother talk. You're going to have to deal with it. It's going to be a miserable day. But Giant fans, you got to win. Let's see if the Jets can do the same. We'll get into the Yankees and still break down the Mets tomorrow. I'll be back with you, too. Thanks for the calls. Thanks to Fliegelman. The warm-up show is next. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson. On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.